This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn Chuang and Sharit. It is 9:18, and so for an assessment into the markets a year after the May 9th general elections, we have on the line with us Cheryl Poller, Deputy Head of Equities at Affin Hwang. Thanks for joining us, Cheryl. And as we approach the one-year anniversary of the PH government coming into power, what's your assessment of the market so far, as well as the speed of reforms?
Good morning. I think as you rightly pointed out, since PH came to power on May the 9th, the numbers have not been great. Of course, if you look at 2018, you can argue that markets globally were weak. But you can really see the stark difference in 2019, where KLCI is the only market which has not participated in this global liquidity-driven rally. Now, even our neighbour Thailand, where the government was in limbo for quite a while since the election on March the 24th, the market is up by more than 5%. So in contrast, the KLCI is down by 3.4% on a year-to-date basis. So let's dissect the issues which have been on investors' minds. Now, when the PH government came into power, the dominant narrative to the financial community was fiscal consolidation. So the country has borrowed too much money and we need to tighten our belt. The construction sector was directly hit, but a lot of businesses and industries slowed down as business owners assessed what this government was going to be like, especially in terms of policy. There were many changes in GLC heads, which affected how these organizations are run, and the market had to take a lot of time to digest this. Then there was the perception of regulatory overhang. Now, this is a big one, especially in the telco fixed line space, where Telecom was asked to reduce its broadband rates. And now this concern, regulatory concern, has shifted to the power sector, affecting Tenaga, which is incidentally the largest index stock in the FBM Sharia. Now, to be fair, I think the government really did need time to clean up the mess left by the previous administration, and it has been a more challenging environment to do this because the economy has been slowing down. However, fundamentally, we really believe that the economy is resilient. If you look at our exports over the last few months, yes, they have dropped, but they have held up a lot better than other countries in Asia. So there is nothing inherently wrong with the economy, but what is lacking is confidence. Now, when businesses are not confident, they don't spend, even if they do receive GST tax refunds from the government. But we do see the government taking steps to resolve this.
Cheryl, we've seen the revival of the ECRL and Bandar Malaysia projects. Do you think there could be a shift in tone by the government from cost-cutting to now pump-priming the economy?
To their credit, I think the government realizes that they can't stay in this fiscal consolidation mode forever. I mean, there's been a big wake-up call, you know, in terms of PH losing three by-elections in a row. And we can also see this from the recent Merdeka Center survey, which shows a decline in the government's popularity, in particular among young Malay voters. Now, for this group of people, fiscal consolidation just does not resonate. So we do see the government starting to pivot towards growth. As you pointed out, you know, there's a revival of the ECRL followed by Bandar Malaysia. And there's probably a greater push to see more of this growth flowing to the ground.
And with Malaysian lagging behind regional peers and the only one to be in the red this year, do you think the local market has sort of bottomed out and will finally play catch up? We've also, you know, we've seen a streak of corporate mergers and acquisition activities, YTL, Lafarge, Axiata and Digi in the past week. You know, will this spur perhaps an animal with a horn, a spirit back to the market?
Well, we do hope so. I think we've seen the trough in the market. I mean, as you pointed out earlier, I think foreign selling on a year-to-date basis is already about 2.7 to 2.8 billion. And the cumulative selling from last year and this year, it has erased all the foreign buying into Malaysia since 2010. Now, we have already lagged other markets so much. We like the fact that the government is becoming more growth-focused. I think the revival of these big construction projects should jumpstart the construction sector and hopefully spill over to other parts of the economy and revive confidence. Remember, we believe that part of this slowdown is self-induced. For animal spirits to be reactivated, you know, for the horns to come out, we really need confidence to return. Of course, the caveat is a global economic slowdown if the US-China trade war really becomes a lasting reality, but I think that's something that nobody can predict. Now, you're talking just now about the streak of corporate M&As. Now, that's very interesting. These two mergers, or should I say one merger and one potential merger, are actually very interesting for our market. Firstly, you know, YTL Cement taking over Lafarge, creating the largest player in the cement sector with more than 50% market share. We've not seen a domestic merger of this scale for some time, and it's a very positive sign for the market that entrepreneurs such as Tan Sri Francis Yeo are putting money back into this country. The other one, the potential merger between Telenor Asia and Axiata, is also something that's potentially exciting for the market. Now, if the merger goes through, it would create one of the biggest cap companies on the market with a credible growth story, especially if the merger synergies which they talk about materialize. This would be a stock that foreign investors would have to look at. So we do hope, you know, that this potential merger won't be derailed by nationalistic fervor. You know, we're selling out a country when actually Axiata could be potentially merging into a much bigger Asian footprint.
Yeah, Cheryl, what other hurdles does the local market need to overcome to stem foreign outflows and shore up confidence?
I think investors like growth, you know, whether they are local or foreign. So we really need to see growth returning, both in terms of economic growth and also companies growing. The other big caveat to our positive view is the ringgit. So recently, the FTSE Russell announced that they are reviewing Malaysia's position in their global bond index with a potential exclusion. So this FTSE Russell World Government Bond Index is something that's closely followed by global fund managers. Although Malaysia's weighting is tiny at 0.4%, this still represents a significant, I think, $7 to $8 billion worth of outflows if Malaysian government securities are excluded from this index. Now, one of the issues highlighted by FTSE Russell was market accessibility, you know, where they look at things like the ease of forex hedging and convertibility. And these issues have been raised by foreign investors ever since the offshore non-deliverable forward market was closed. Now, if the exclusion does happen and the money leaves our country, the good news is that there is ample liquidity to absorb it. But I think the knock-on effect would be the ringgit.
And thank you so much. That was Cheryl Pola, Deputy Head of Equity at Affin Hwang, giving us her assessment of the markets a year after the May 9th general elections. Now, it's quite interesting. So she believes that the economy is resilient despite the fact that exports have dropped. But she pointed out also that exports held up a lot better than other governments in Asia. But what's lacking here is business confidence, really.
Yeah, because fundamentally, Malaysia is the same Malaysia was 12 months ago. No question about it, right? It's just the way the business was done and how things were priced. Now, a lot of the disruption has happened within the GLC spectrum, Telekom Malaysia, Tenaga Nasional, and these are big caps. And, you know, to be honest, beyond the hyperbole and beyond the headlines, foreign fund managers don't really care about how well or how clean or how well-governed a company is. They just care about profits at the end of the day, right? So the fact that Malaysia is cleaning up its books now and in a way restructuring the sector to make it more palatable for every Malaysian to benefit is of little import to the foreign fund manager. They want stability, they want earnings, they want repetition, and they want sustainability of profits going forward. When that paradigm is disrupted, that's when they leave the country. Then that's when they leave the currency. The big uncertainty is really the FTSE Russell, because if Malaysia's MGS is taken off the, you know, the universe of stocks or universe of classes, that could be a real downer from a confidence perspective.
Okay, but at the same time, I mean, looking at how government has been dealing with all the mega projects that was put on hold for several months, I think it is, at least on the optics of my side, is this important to make, you know, to make sure that it's been done right. So it might take a little longer, you know, might take a slightly longer time. For example, they're looking at one big project at a time, ECRL, and perhaps what's next, right? And then there has been some cancellation as well. If they don't see that it's, you know, it contributes towards the economy here.
And also there are the mega mergers, YTL and Lafarge, and the possible merger of Axiata and Telenor, which, as Cheryl pointed out, could be a positive sign and attract more foreign eyes to Malaysia. So that's all the corporate news that we have for you today. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.